If you live in a house or a small apartment building, you may use those big 30-gallon clear plastic recycling bags for your recycling. And they come in cardboard boxes, maybe 12 or 20 to a box. And eventually, the cardboard box, since it's recyclable, will wind up inside the clear plastic recycling bag. I always get a little thrill when I take the last clear plastic recycling bag out of the box and then open it up and then immediately put the box inside the bag. Maybe I need to get a life, I don't know. But it eats its own box. The thing that used to be the container becomes the contained. Spontaneous inversion of the power dynamic between the bag and the box. The bag can say to the box, I once created the context and the environment in which you lived. No. You once created the context and the environment in which I lived, and now I create the context and the environment in which you live. This is what Easter is all about. Jesus was a poor and struggling rabbi, bereft at the failure of every attempt to overthrow the Roman occupiers, heartbroken at the corruption of his religion by the wealthy and the powerful. This is what we were talking about last week. The Roman occupation completely contained Judaism. It was the Romans who decided to what extent the Jews would be able to practice their religion. It was the Romans who placed their own people in the temple. They chose the priests and they collected the taxes that went to the state. It was the Romans who determined the terms by which Jewish peasants could come from the countryside to pray. Everyone knew that they were only allowed to practice their religion by the good graces of the Roman authorities. And when Jesus came along and rebelled against all this, when he overturned the tables of the money changers, when he called out the corporate rabbis who had sold out their tradition to curry favor with the Roman authorities, when he instigated violent rebellion, telling poor Jews to take up their swords and follow him, he caused the Romans so much trouble that they killed him. The ultimate containment. They contained him with finality in the physical container of the stone tomb, with a stone rolled across the entrance. And normally, this would have been the end of the story. Except that in this case, as the story goes, a miracle happened. The stone had been rolled away, and the container was found empty. In this powerful, mythic story, Jesus transcended the container of an imperial power, and he transcended the container of death. And in a flash, he literally became larger than life. In a flash, he burst out of any possible limitations, and his teachings began a slow spread that eventually reached every corner of the earth. Rather than being judged by the Roman authorities, Jesus' teachings became the standard by which secular authority could be judged. And 300 years later, Christianity, which was the religion unwittingly founded by Jesus, became the official state religion of the Roman Empire. Arguably, no more radical reversal has ever been effected. It's this explosive moment of reversal, where reality is upended, that makes the Easter myth so breathtaking. And I use the word myth here in the best possible way, because this is an archetype. We recognize it. It's not something that we have to necessarily wait around for a miracle to make happen. It's something we've all experienced in our lives. And more importantly, it's something that we humans can manifest in our lives. At the very least, each of us has experienced this reversal at the moment of birth, some of us more recently than others. Where we were once contained in our mother's womb, we emerged driven by the life force, and as every parent here knows, we then proceeded to take over our parents' lives and contain them within the world of our needs. Where they once created the context and environment in which we lived, we then created the context and environment in which they live. This is nature at work, and it's beautiful and it's powerful, but it's also absolutely ordinary. But where it gets really exciting is where a human being can consciously manifest this energy of breaking out of our containers through sheer chutzpah. I'm thinking today because it's Passover and because it's Emancipation Day in Washington, D.C. I'm thinking of the story of Harriet Tubman, affectionately called Moses. Tubman was born a slave in 1822 in Maryland. Like many slaves, she was abused throughout her youth, beaten and whipped, and once got a head injury that gave her health problems for her whole life. When she was just 27 years old, she escaped. This was the first stage of her breaking out of her container. She physically escaped slavery. But she didn't just try to save herself and build a new life up north, although she would have been perfectly justified in doing that. Once she escaped and realized that it could be done, she immediately went back to rescue her family. And then she kept going back and rescued her relatives. She could have stopped there, of course, and would have been absolutely justified in doing that, but she kept going back. Risking her own life over and over, she helped dozens of people escape through the Underground Railroad. And once the Fugitive Slave Act was passed and the North was no longer safe, she helped people get all the way up to Canada. She proudly recounted that she never lost a passenger. They called her Moses because she liberated so many people from slavery. She could have stopped there, but she didn't. When the Civil War began, she joined the Union Army and became an armed scout and a spy. And she became the first woman to lead an armed expedition in the war. She led a raid that liberated 700 more slaves. In her later years, as if that wasn't enough, she became an activist in the women's suffrage movement with a clear commitment to what we now call intersectionality. Harriet Tubman, through her own explosive courage and faith, went from being a slave contained within a cruel and racist system to being a powerful force to upend and eventually contain that very same system. She went from just being an economic unit with an erased identity to being an American hero, buried with full military honors, with a national monument and countless schools, and even an asteroid named after her. And in the ultimate ironic reversal, the Treasury Department last year decided to put Tubman on the front of the $20 bill, replacing Andrew Jackson, a slaveholder. Money was the value that had kept Harriet Tubman enslaved, and now her face will grace a physical symbol of money that many Americans use every single day. That inversion of meaning is absolutely thrilling. To me, at least, and apparently to you as well. As you can imagine, our current president is not so thrilled about it, or at least he wasn't during the campaign when he called the decision to replace Andrew Jackson with Harriet Tubman pure political correctness. But actually, Harriet Tubman's chutzpah is something that Trump should admire. Because in a strange way, Trump's victory is the privileged version of that exact same chutzpah. He did all the things that you just can't do. He said all the things that you just can't say. Every other news story calls his actions unprecedented, which is usually intended as a criticism, but which he and his followers undoubtedly take as the highest compliment. And the liberal intellectual culture that he felt so unjustly contained by, well, now he contains us, and we are struggling to break out. The central metaphor of the People's Climate March coming up on April 29th in Washington, D.C. will be one of containment. We'll be marching to the White House and then completely encircling it. Through this march and the movement that continues after it, we'll work to reverse that tide yet again and effect yet another inversion so that corporations will someday serve the Earth and its people instead of the other way around. So as we've seen, this ability to break out of our containers, this brash, unapologetic chutzpah, is in and of itself value neutral. It's a kind of a superpower. And as we all know, any superpower can be used for good or for evil. But it is available to us. Things that seem impossible do happen. Things in our own lives that feel like they will never change do change. Our spiritual challenge, whenever we find this power within us, is to use it for good. Like Harriet Tubman, once we've liberated ourselves, to go back and liberate others. To see oppression in the broadest possible way, as both personal and universal, and work to overturn it and reverse it in every dimension of life. Now, of course, it's not always just a matter of chutzpah. There are some containers, like being very poor or very physically sick, or worse yet, being very poor and very physically sick, that are real and external and cannot be willed away. But so often, what stops us from breaking free is not that kind of thing. We so often stop ourselves miles before we hit one of those big barriers. We stop at not allowed. We stop at not polite. We stop at too disruptive. We stop at never been done before. We stop at never been done in my family before. We stop at might hurt someone's feelings. We stop at might fail. We stop at too weak. We stop at too scared. We stop at get all your ducks in a row first. We stop at ask permission first. We stop at knock on the door first. If there's one message that we can take away from the Easter story, it's that when we are fighting to break out of our containers, whether it's for our personal liberation or for the liberation of thousands, don't knock. Like it said in the spiritual that we heard today, don't knock, just walk on in. You should each have received a little square of paper when you arrived this morning. If you don't have one, you can get one in a minute from an usher. This is flash paper, which if you've been here on Easter before, you'll know it's a kind of magician's paper that when you touch it to a flame, it kind of explodes. We're going to come up in a few minutes, we're going to come up to the three stations that we usually use for our candle lighting, but instead of lighting a candle, you're going to touch the piece of paper to the flame and throw it up in the air and blow it up. Don't try to burn something else. It won't work the same way. Use the flash paper, and Kevin down here is going to demonstrate how this works. On this Easter Sunday, we remember the life of Jesus as a teacher and a healer, as a leader of a movement, and for some of us, as a worker of miracles. We can take away many lessons from the example of his life. This morning, I invite you to focus on the hard lesson of his chutzpah, his unwillingness to be contained, and let us also refuse to be limited by our own containers. Let us, like Jesus or Harriet Tubman, use our chutzpah to break free, break others free and be a blessing to the world. So I'd like us all to take a minute and, holding this piece of flash paper, think of some way in which you feel contained, some way in which your spirit is inhibited, some way in which you may be living small. It can be very personal. It can be very political. Pick a door that feels closed to you and set the intention to not knock, but walk on in. And let the flash paper that you're holding in your hand represent that barrier, whatever it is. Let it represent the thing that you feel contains you, the thing that you want to break free of. So take a minute and reflect on what that is for you, and then whenever you're ready, come on up.